Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 2. If you were teaching 4th grade 50 years ago or 75 years ago in the early days of Waldorf education, a lot of the children in your class would be out for a week, 2 weeks, even 3 weeks at a time, because they would be going through the golden age, we might say, of childhood illnesses, that there was in the past a real concentration of the outbreak of a measles epidemic or scarlet fever, whooping cough, whatever. This would often appear late third grade throughout fourth grade and diminish greatly by the time the children were in grade 5. Why this age in particular? Why are children, or were children before the age of vaccination that we're in now, why were they so prone to the illnesses at this particular time? And this really points us to a very great mystery in human development. Now, I want to mention at the outset of this lecture that this is meant to be preceded by or followed by the dynamic diagram on the 9-10-year change, which is listed. So do have a look at that as well. It's very short, and I try there to use animation. Perish the thought, but I do. Animation to explain in a more graphic, visual way the anthroposophical concepts that I'm going to be bringing now. So as I mentioned in the preceding lecture, you can go to the Steiner course to get some background. You can go now, I mentioned, you can also go to the dynamic diagram before or after you hear this. And of course, what I'm saying here will need more than just 15 minutes to elucidate. I'm going to go on with this. But I want to mention also that if what I bring in these first few lectures doesn't make a whole lot of sense at first, I hope that it will start to make more sense. It will prove itself to have meaning and significance as we go through the curriculum, as we talk about children's behavior and so-called classroom management and things like that. I think that we'll see that it's not that Steiner's terminology is just yet another difficult, convoluted way of trying to make sense of the complexity and at times chaos of childhood, but that Steiner's way really sheds a bright light and gives us a powerful lens with which to make some sense of it all, and also helps us understand the meaning and significance of the Waldorf curriculum and the Waldorf approach. So we are seeing in the fourth grader, by and large, about the last quadrant of the 9-year change. There are certainly some in your class who may have started manifesting aspects of the 9-year change in the last third or quarter of grade 2. And it can very well be that they're over and done with that, and that was all in third grade. However, I would say two-thirds of your class, perhaps three-quarters of the class, are still resonating, still echoing with all that went on in that powerful time. And I much prefer to speak of the 9-to-10-year change, because especially nowadays where developmental stages are getting so sort of mixed up and homogenized in some ways and separated out in others, that I think we really have to keep our eyes open even in grade four for aspects of this change. But what's most important here is to look at the fourfold nature of the fourth grader, and I don't think it's such a shock that each grade, in a way, casts its own light on the developmental aspects of the child, and in grade four, it's so well matched. There is a lot of fourfolding going on in this grade, in the same way that the unity of grade one divided powerfully in the polarization of grade two. So now in grade four, we see things often coming about in four different ways, four temperaments, let's say, four aspects of the child, which will work and act very, very strongly. So let's just quickly, as though we were playing the scales with a musical instrument to warm up, let's just look at Steiner's ideas about the human being. So we have the physical body, which is tangible, which is present at all times, which we see and feel and hear and know, and which is certainly since the time of the Renaissance, but with greatest intensity and greatest certainty, we can say, in the 20th century above all, has become the be-all and end-all of scientific observation. You know, if one can't find a place for it in the physical world, it's not there. And even though there are here and there voices speaking out of the scientific worldview who don't feel physicality explains everything, and the most significant of these in the last couple of years, in the mid-decades of the 21st century, has been a philosopher named Charles Nagel, N-A-G-E-L. And you might want to look into his work. But nonetheless, basically, the physical is seen as the entirety of the human being. And the fact that we as Waldorf practitioners do not see it this way, and that even if we personally may see it that way, the curriculum out of which we work and the methodology with which we work, all of this is built on a much more layered and much more complex picture of the human being, less like a Barbie doll and more like a Russian Matryoshka doll, one of those many embedded little beings, and usually there are indeed four of them who find their way in the larger doll. So we could say in this respect that the physical body is like the littlest doll in the Matryoshka. And especially in the young child, the smaller the child, the larger, we might say, are the other members of his or her being. So the fact that we are looking at the child like this is what is truly unique about Waldorf, what makes it very different from all other methods of education that are current and known, at least in the English-speaking world nowadays, Montessori in particular. We are very different. And it is this, more than anything else, that has made it difficult for Waldorf education to spread as far and quickly as it should, to reach as many children as it should, because it is so counter to the modern scientific worldview. It runs so much against the grain. And for this reason, there are many in the Waldorf world and in the Association of Waldorf Schools of North America who keep bringing the brain, the brain, the brain. Look at what knitting does to the brain. Look at what movement does to the brain. It's really good for children to read slowly because it's so good for the brain. And it's this kind of grasping at straws to show Waldorf is actually really good without having the courage to say, you know, we're really not about the brain at all. It's nice that these effects are shown in the brain, but that's not it at all. We're much more concerned about the effects on the higher bodies of the child. You start talking that way, and generally you've lost people. So somehow or other, we are having to work today to really reach as many children as we can, to do as much good for them as we can, and to find ways of communicating what we are really about. Because the reality is, parents who send their children to our schools, and that's certainly true of the independent schools, this investment in the method is not always there in the charter schools, though I think it's growing and will keep growing. But these parents are themselves looking for an alternative to this scientific worldview. And I can tell you that from this point on, fourth through eighth grade, you are not going to be able to explain to the parents what we are doing, why we are doing it, and why their child is acting in the way that he or she is acting at this given point, in spite of them going to a wonderful Waldorf school. You won't be able to make sense of it without bringing in the fourfold picture of the human being. This is an absolute matter of necessity. It grows more necessary every year. Parents are asking for this. And when I talk about parent work, I'll try to give you some advice on ways of bringing all of this. But I just want to say that, you know, I'm not just sort of giving you the fourfold human being the way you may get it sometimes in some conferences where you feel, okay, this is the dogma, this is the catechism, guys, stand up while we say the Steiner verse. Okay, sit down, stand up while we go through the fourfold human being. Okay, sit down. You know, there's this deadened, dull quality. I'm sure that some of you have gotten this in your trainings or in the conferences that you've attended up till now. And I just want to say that I am sorry that so often it is presented that way and there's such a lack of kind of enthusiasm. But I think that is often a manifestation of a lack of penetration of this higher picture of the human being. So I'm going to share with you aspects of it which I think are very important, and we're going to see how we can go beyond the physical body. So in the next lectures, we're going to look, yes, at the physical body, but also its interpenetration with the etheric body, the new, very dynamic element, which is appearing now in certain respects for the first time between late third and early fourth grade, the astral body, and also the far more removed part of the human being, that aspect of our nature, the ego, or the I, or the self. How are these bodies interacting in a new way in the fourth grader? If we can grasp this in one way or another, we will be able to observe children, understand them, and hopefully help them take some important steps forward in this very, very critical year of child development. So we'll go into detail in the next lectures.